Hi everyone, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm very, very pleased to be with you this evening to talk about connecting with your spiritual guidance. And so before I get into how we actually connect with our guidance, I'd like to talk about what is guidance. Obviously, guidance can be very, very different for each person. Sometimes a person's guidance is a sense of an inner soul, an inner wise being. Sometimes it's a sense of a higher soul. It can be a sense of other souls that are helping. It can be whatever your concept of God is, which may be a feeling of love or truth or peace or joy. One of the things that's important to understand is that feelings of love and truth and peace and joy are not experiences and feelings that we generate. They're what we open to. We don't generate love in our being. We don't generate peace and joy. We open to it. It's in my experience, it is what God is, and that when we're open to that, then those feelings come through us. And just like truth, we don't generate truth within our own beings. Even though our ego, wounded mind likes to think that it can generate truth, it actually is completely ignorant. It's just a part of us that has been programmed with many, many false beliefs. And so in order to access truth, we need to be open. We need to have our hearts open, our minds open, in order to connect with the truth and the love and the peace and the joy that is spirit. And whether we see that as our higher soul, as I said, our inner soul, as God, as a guardian angel, a spirit guide, however you see it, is fine. It's just that those feelings of peace and joy and those experiences of truth, it's important to realize that they don't come from our left brain mind. Our left brain mind, there's a place in our left brain at the bottom of the left brain called the amygdala. And that's the seat of our wounded self, of our ego. And in that, it's like our personal computer. It's been programmed with whatever we've put in it, whatever others, parents, teachers, society, whatever we've absorbed, that goes in there. And that part of us is not able to connect with a higher source of guidance. And that part of us can only sort of loop through the beliefs that have been programmed in. And so in order to connect with higher guidance, we need to move into our right brains. And before I get into that, I'd like to talk about a concept called frequency. Frequency is the rate at which we're actually vibrating. And the way that you can understand this is if you walk into a room and it's filled with angry people, just think about the energy of a room filled with angry people. It's very low, it's very dark, it's very heavy. That's called a low frequency. Whereas if you walk into a room of people who are loving and laughing and caring and compassionate, that's a light energy, and that's called a high frequency. And so when we're in a low frequency, which means that we're in anger or fear or hurt or guilt or shame or anxiety or depression, we can't connect with our spiritual guidance from that low frequency because our guidance exists at a higher frequency than we live at. We live at a lower frequency than guidance so that we can see each other. If we operated like, say, a hummingbird's wings, which, you know, move so fast you can hardly see them, we wouldn't be able to see each other. And so our bodies have to be more dense. Our bodies have to operate at a lower frequency. But it's possible to raise our mind to a higher frequency, the frequency of love and compassion, that lightness that you would imagine if you walked into a room of people that were open and loving and caring and compassionate. And so when we move ourselves into those feelings, we raise our frequency. And what happens is spirit can meet us there. We can start to hear and perceive and experience the love and the wisdom, the guidance, the truth that is here all the time for us. It's what we live in. It's all around us. It's not something that comes and goes. It's here like the air that we breathe. The air that we breathe doesn't come and go. The air that we breathe doesn't make decisions about whose lungs it's going to come into. It's neutral. And spirit is like that. It's neutral. It's love. It's compassion. It's truth. It's wisdom. It's joy. It's peace. And it's here all the time. And it's up to us to raise our frequency high enough so that we can access that spiritual connection. And so there's a major way that we teach in inner bonding about being able to raise your frequency. And this has to do with intention. In the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions. And one is the intention to protect against pain and try and control things, control your pain, control people, control how people feel about you, control outcomes. And the other is the intention to learn about what's most loving to you and others, what's in your highest good and the highest good of others. And so the intention to protect, which is where our ego wounded self always is, wants to protect with controlling behavior rather than with loving behavior, lowers the frequency. When we're in the intention to protect, we're going to feel bad. We're going to feel anxious, afraid, depressed, all of these difficult feelings, angry. And that's low frequency, as I said. When we move into an intention to learn about loving ourselves, just that choice alone raises the frequency. And we are a choice. We are beings of free will. We get to choose whether we want to be open or closed, whether we want to be loving or unloving. We get to choose that at any given moment. And so we get to choose whether we want to protect or whether we want to be in the intention to learn at any given moment. And that determines our frequency. And so the more we each decide that we want to be responsible for ourselves, for our own feelings, for our own well-being, that we don't want to be a victim, which is a low frequency, that we truly want to learn and be responsible for ourselves, the more we decide that, the more we raise our own frequency. And that's what enables us to connect to guidance. And so it's also very, very important to understand that you can know your own frequency by how you feel. If you feel bad, you got to know you're at a low frequency. You're not going to be able to connect with guidance when you feel really bad. And so you're going to have to do something to raise your frequency. You're going to have to pray and meditate. You're going to have to consciously move into an intention to learn about loving yourself. And that will raise your frequency, and you're going to know that your frequency is higher because you're going to immediately feel better. And so our feelings are like a barometer. And they let us know whether we're at a low or high frequency. They let us know whether we're able to connect to spirit or whether the information that we're getting from our wounded mind is coming through. And we have to know that that information is never accurate. It just scares us. It makes us anxious. And so when we're stuck in the left brain, we're in our wounded self. And when we open to learning, we automatically move into the right brain, which is the part of our brain that is able to connect to spirit. Some of you might have seen Dr. Jill Bolt-Taylor. She wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight, and she had this phenomenal experience at the age of 37 where she had a stroke. And her whole left brain, she's a brain scientist, so she was able to observe what was happening while this was going on for her. And her whole left brain went offline. It just flooded with blood from a congenital defect in her brain. And what happened to her is that she was now only in her right brain. And in that state, she was able to completely and totally connect with spirit. She was able to move in and out of her body. She was able to feel immediately when somebody was loving and when they weren't. Now, her left brain was offline, so she couldn't talk. She couldn't remember a lot of things. But the experience in her right brain was phenomenal. It took her many years to get her left brain back online, and at some point she wasn't even sure whether she wanted that, because before this experience she had been kind of an angry, depressed person, and she really didn't want that back. And so she worked really hard, even when she got her left brain back online, to not go back into that ego state, that wounded self ego state. So once we open to learning with our spiritual guidance in the inner bonding process, we ask two questions of guidance. We ask, what is the truth? And what is the loving action? What is in our highest good and the highest good of all? These are the major questions we're asking our higher guidance. What is the truth about any given situation? What is the truth about a false belief that we're operating under? And what is the loving action towards ourselves in any given moment? In fact, many of the people that I work with who don't have a spiritual belief system, I say to them, well, one of the things that you can practice is just asking the air throughout the day, what's the loving action towards myself right now? And you're going to start to get answers. If you really want to know, if you're really open to learning, if you really want to take responsibility and take the loving action, and you start to ask that question, you're actually going to start to get answers. I had this one client who had no spiritual belief system, and I asked him to do this. And after a few months, he said to me, you know, he says, you know that I don't have any spiritual belief system, and I told you when I started working with you that I really didn't want to deal with that. But when I ask, I get answers, and I have no idea where they're coming from. And so it didn't matter that he had no spiritual belief system. He was getting a lot of answers. So how does spirit answer us? Spirit answers us in many, many different ways. One of them is that ideas may pop into your mind. People who are creative, for example, they know that if they're in a creative state, that ideas come in. They're not actually thinking them up. They're sort of coming in. And so when you're in that open state, ideas pop into your mind. You may hear words in your head. You may see images. You get feelings. Our feeling self inside is spirit within. And our feelings let us know a lot. Our bad feelings let us know that we're off track in our thinking. Our good feelings let us know we're on track in our thinking. Spirit can speak to us through our dreams, through our imagination. Sometimes you open a book and you're asking a question and there's the answer. Sometimes you're talking to other people and you hear yourself saying the answer that you've been looking for, or you hear the other person saying the answer. Your spiritual guidance is always going to find a way to communicate with you about what it is you're asking. It's just that you have to be open to it. If you're asking a question, but your intention really is to control rather than learn, you're not going to get appropriate answers. Spirit is not here to help you control. Spirit's not here to give you the lottery answers. Spirit is here to really help you to learn and to grow and to take loving care of yourself. And one of the questions that people ask me a lot is, how do you know when it's spirit that's answering? How do I know it's not just my mind making up an answer? And that's a very, very important thing to know. How do I know it's not just my ego, wounded self, making up something in response to the question? Now, the way that you know is by how it feels inside. Once again, your feelings are your inner guidance. Your thoughts can come from your left brain mind, or your thoughts can come through you, through your right brain, from spirit. And when it's coming from your left brain, your feelings are going to let you know, because thoughts from the left brain make us feel bad. They're false beliefs. They make us feel anxious, tense, stressed out, afraid, angry, guilty, shamed, hurt. And so whenever you're feeling those feelings, you know that whatever the thoughts are not coming from your guidance. Guidance's thoughts never create feelings like that. That they never make you feel scared. They never make you feel bad. They never make you feel angry or hurt. The thoughts from guidance brings peace, brings joy, fills you up, makes your heart feel full of love. And so it's by tuning into our feelings that we know whether our thought is coming from our left brain, wounded mind, or whether it's coming through us from our spiritual guidance, through the right brain, from our spiritual guidance. Now, in the inner bonding process, one of the challenges is to be in connection with our guidance throughout the day. This is not something that you just want to do here and there. This is something that you want to do throughout a day, if you really want to be learning. If your intention really is to be learning, then why wouldn't you want to be connected to this incredibly, wonderfully loving, wise source that's always, always here? So one of the things that I encourage people to practice is practice staying present in their bodies, because this is how you connect with your spiritual guidance. This is how you connect with your feelings, is you got to get into the present moment. The wounded self, the left brain, is never in the present moment. It's always in the past. It's always in the future, but never in the present moment. It's only when we're in our right brain and we're in our bodies and we're connected to our feelings that we can also really connect with the wisdom and the love and the truth of our spiritual guidance. And so in the inner bonding process, in step one is getting present, getting into your body, feeling your feelings, wanting responsibility, moving into the intention to learn, wanting to know what you're thinking and doing that may be causing any distress, being present like that, practicing being present in your body with your feelings, is what will enable you to also be in connection with your spiritual guidance. Now, this is not a hooey-wooey weird thing. This is something that people actually do throughout a day many times without realizing it. Some of you may have children, and when you had a baby for the first time, you had no idea. Most of us had no idea what to do. But we wanted to love that child. And so we would constantly be saying, now, you know, what does the child need now? What does the child need now? And ideas would pop into our mind, and we would try them, and we would see if they would work. And those ideas were actually coming from our higher guidance. And we can do the same thing for ourselves. We can imagine that our feeling self is a child inside of us, and that that child is our responsibility to take care of physically, emotionally, and spiritually, in relationships, regarding time and organization, financially. We can take responsibility for that child, and we can ask our higher guidance, what would be loving to me in any given moment, in any given situation? What would be loving to me to eat right now? What would be loving to me with this person that I'm in conflict with? What would be loving to me with my boss who's giving me a dirty look right now? That information is there. It's there for all of us. And so the more you practice being present and being in your feelings, being in your body, the more you're going to be able to connect with that guidance that's here. the thing to remember is that none of us were dropped on the planet alone. We are connected. Our very life is dependent upon this energy that's all around us. And one of the things that you might want to imagine right now is imagine that your soul is really, really huge, much, much bigger than your body. In fact, that's when I was talking about the book, My Stroke of Insight, written by Jill Bolt-Taylor, it's one of the first things that she says is, oh, my God, I never knew that my soul was so big. How did this soul ever fit inside this little body? And what actually happens is that the soul doesn't all fit in the body. A part of our soul fits in, and that's our feeling self. And that's the part that's letting us know what's going on through our feelings. And the rest of our soul is all around us. It's an energy. It can actually be photographed. It's all around us. And that is our higher soul. And so if you imagine that part of you all around you, just way too big to fit inside your body, and that can never leave. It's always here. It's you. It's who you are. It's your true essential self. And then just imagine that everybody else's soul is huge. And then there's all the souls of people who are not in bodies. And they're all connected out there in space, wherever. And so that's what guidance is. It's our soul. It's everybody's soul. To me, that's what God is. It's all the souls. And there's a huge amount of information that's available to all of us when we open to learning. And that's the real key here, is that you need to open to learning. And that's what step two of inner bonding is. It's making a conscious decision that we want to learn. We want to learn about the truth. We want to learn about what's in our highest good. And that intention opens us to our higher guidance. So I'm going to take just a couple of minutes here to talk a little bit about our membership website, and then I'm going to take some questions. We have some questions of people who have written in and some of you online, and I will unmute you, and you can ask some questions, or you can do a little bit of work with me, whatever you'd like to do. We have a membership site. It's $14.95 a month. It's an incredible site. There's nothing like it on the web. It's a community. It's a caring, open, compassionate community of people who help each other with their emotional growth, their spiritual growth. On this site, you can ask questions of me and Dr. Erica. We answer them generally within a few hours. We give you really professional answers. We're both psychologists, and we give you fairly in-depth answers, and then your answers show up anonymously, and other people can respond and be of help as well. We have hosted chats. We have regular chats of people who just go on and help each other, and we actually have free inner bonding facilitation for members who don't have any money and can't afford facilitation. We have about 36 trained facilitators who do inner bonding with people and help you in your process. But for those people who have no money, we have a few facilitators who work for free. They're facilitators in training. We have many, many articles on the site that are only for members. Erica's blog, which is very funny and inspirational. Members put up their own articles and their own creativity, their poems, their art, their photography. We have videos of people doing the inner bonding process to help you with that. If you're really interested in healing on the emotional and spiritual level, in healing your relationships, this is the place to come. It's really the best deal in town. It's incredibly supportive, and there is so much learning that's on the site. So I'm going to go into questions now, and I'm going to take a couple of questions that people wrote in, and then we'll take questions of people online. So I might have already answered this, but Randy wrote in, how does somebody know when they are really connected? And how do they know when they're disconnected? Is it always the same? So, yes, basically it is the same. We know we're connected when our frequency is high, which means that we're feeling good. We feel full inside. Spirit has come in, filled our heart with love. We're in a clear place. We're tuned into our feelings. There's a lightness. There's a kind of lightness of being when we're truly in a connected state. When we're disconnected, we feel bad. We're in some pain. We feel empty. We feel alone inside. We may feel hurt or angry. And so it's our feelings. We may feel depressed or anxious or frightened. It's our feelings that let us know when we're connected and when we're disconnected. It's actually an incredible system that we have here. It's unerring. When you're like not on a drug or not overeating or not acting out addictively and you're just feeling great for no particular reason, it's because you're connected to spirit. It's not like you're doing something, or it's not like there's something great that's happened to you. You're connected because your heart is open. You're connected because you're in the intention to learn, and your feelings are letting you know that. And so now Marty asks, I have numerous interests and passions. On top of that, I'm having to contend with a massage business that has plummeted. Confusion is trying to dictate my life. I want to find a direction that will not only allow me to make others feel good about their lives, but for me to also follow suit. What is the best way to get through this uncertainty? You know, obviously a lot of people are going through uncertain times right now. All the more reason to be connecting, be moving into the intention to learn. The way to get through this uncertainty is obviously challenging. It's about really staying open to learning. It's about really wanting to know what's in your highest good. It's actually about practicing the inner bonding process, which I encourage all of you to learn, is to practice the inner bonding process, which will enable you to keep your frequency high, enable you to tune into your guidance. This is what gets people through uncertainty. You're never going to get through it with your left brain. It's got to come through you from a higher source. So I'm going to answer one more online, and then I'm going to take any questions that you have, those of you that are on the line. Let's see here. Could inner bonding problems cause me to always be involved with a man who is a batterer? This is a little bit confusing questions because inner bonding is not what causes the problems. I think this is Jean. She's asking, are her problems being caused by a man? Is she always being involved with a batterer because she's not inner bonding? People who are involved with batterers are looking to somebody else to take responsibility for them. They're not tuning in to their own feelings. Jean, if you were to learn the inner bonding process, if you were to learn to connect with your own feelings, if you were to learn to connect with your guides and take responsibility for yourself, then you would know way, way ahead of time whether somebody is a batterer. But when you're in your left brain and somebody comes along who seems charming and acts like they want to take care of you and you're not connected to your feelings, your intention is to be taken care of rather than be loving to yourself, it's going to lead you into that kind of dysfunctional relationship over and over again. And so if you're really wanting to change that pattern, I suggest that you start to practice the inner bonding process. Okay, I'm going to take some questions now. I want to make sure everybody is unmuted, so I'm going to press. Okay, is everybody unmuted now?
Yeah.
Somebody, okay, good. Now, do you have a question?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Yvonne. Hi, I'm very pleased to speak with you tonight.
Hello, Yvonne. I'm pleased to speak with you, too.
Hmm.
So go ahead. What is your question?
My question is, I don't know how best the intent is to learn or to control. I've sold my house. I don't know where to go, where to live, and I'm having difficulties connecting because I'm worried about where I'm going to live. I have to be out of here in 2 months.
Uh-huh.
I want to connect, but I'm afraid. I don't know. I'm insecure. With the insecurity and the intention, I don't know how to mix them together.
Well, I understand that. It's a very difficult situation when you've sold your house and you're not sure what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be going. So, honey, I'd like you to just let me do a little bit of work with you right now, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like you to just take a deep breath and just move inside your body. Put your focus inside your body, breathing in. And tuning into what you're feeling right in this moment. What are you feeling?
I'm really happy. I'm happy.
Okay, so in this moment you're happy because we're talking on the phone right now. But when you think about the moving situation and where you're going to go, what do you end up feeling?
I have a feeling that I'm happy because I've sold the house because it was costing
okay.
me too much. Now, okay. where am I going to go? Where I'm supposed to go is the answer I get. But didn't tell me much.
Okay, so you're saying that you're not feeling very stressed about it? Is that what you're saying?
That's what comes up now.
Okay, that's what comes up now. You're not feeling very stressed. Okay, so I'd like you to just breathe into your heart right now.
My heart, okay.
Yeah, and just breathe into your heart and see if you can just feel your heart being open and make a decision that you really want to be open to learning with your guidance about what's truly in your highest good. What
nature.
Okay, so the first thing that comes up is nature. So you want to live somewhere in nature, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And now keep asking your guidance. Say, okay, I want to live in nature. I'd like to have some information about where in nature would be in my highest good.
Okay, so this is how I would connect.
Right, this is how you would connect. It's like talking to somebody. It's asking the questions from a deep desire to learn.
Okay,
you can it out loud. You can do it in writing. It's best to do it out loud or in writing, not to do it so much in your head. Because if you do it in your head, we have a tendency to get back into our left brain and to lose the connection.
Okay, I enjoy writing. I will continue this exercise writing.
Well, good. How are you feeling
you.
Right now?
A bit calmer and more centered.
Good, good. And
thank
so those
you.
Feelings... Those feelings are letting you know that, you know, that you're beginning to connect because that's the feeling you get when you're connected. You feel calmer. You feel better. You feel, like, easier inside. Good for you.
Moving ahead. Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, is there anybody else that has a question you'd like to ask? There's a bunch of people on the phone here. Would you like to do a little bit of work with me while you have me here? Usually I have people lining up.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
What
My
is
name
your
is
name?
Evelyn.
Okay,
Evelyn.
Hon. Oh, Evelyn. Okay, Evelyn.
Yes, Evelyn.
Okay. What would you like to ask, Evelyn?
I'm not sure how to explain it right, but I do work with a facilitator, and we've figured out that I have a problem getting, you know, out of my brain and into my body, and so every time I try to connect and usually, you know, when we start talking about something that I'm worried about or I'm anxious about, and we try to, you know, for me to talk to my inner child, it's just like everything is happening in my head. I mean, I can, you know, when I do get answers and I feel like I should be talking to my inner child, I think that I'm just talking to myself. It's just everything is in my brain, really.
Okay.
So we haven't really been able, because I don't have a strong spiritual connection, you know, we haven't been able to really build that, I guess. And I'm getting
so Evelyn,
anxious.
tell me what your belief system is regarding anything spiritual. What is that about for you?
Yeah, it's a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of a big question, because I, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I, you know, I definitely have a big rebellion going on whenever it's about, you know, God in the traditional sense of how I was raised. That definitely
right.
doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
So I rebel right away. I even rebel to things like that are, you know, that don't necessarily have much to do with Catholicism, but let's say somebody says to me, you know, spirit's going to know what's in your best, you know, interest or in your highest mm-hmm. good. That, like, immediately triggers, well, I know what's in my highest good, you
right.
know. How, you know, why would I not know that?
Okay, so what if you were to imagine your higher guidance as you, as a older, wiser part of you?
I do that, right? I try to just not even go down the God path, but just think about myself. Or sometimes I think about nature. I think that maybe, you know, I connect to nature well, because I do feel like when I go for walks, I'm very happy. So, but when I try to do an inner bonding process,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't translate. I can't, you know, like, for example, what you said before, when we have positive feelings that we're connected with guidance,
uh-huh.
I think that I wasn't really aware of that, because when I do go for walks and I feel really happy and I get like all smiley and that, you know, maybe is that when I should be doing inner bonding?
Yes, that's exactly when you should be doing it. I almost always do my inner bonding process when I'm out walking in nature.
Huh, okay.
Because I love
being
in nature.
Because every time I do it on the phone, you know, and like whenever we try to do it, you know, regarding a specific issue,
mm-hmm.
nothing. I just, my brain, and that's it.
Well, maybe you need to talk to your facilitator while you're outside in nature.
Right. Huh.
That may be helpful. But I think there's something else going on here too, Evelyn, because the rebellion with your Catholic background says to me that there's some fear of whatever your concept of God is, maybe having control over you.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, many people are brought up with this judgmental concept of God, that God is there judging you and God wants to control you like your parents. And so people find themselves resistant to opening to their right brain for fear that whatever is going to come in is going to tell them to do something that they don't want to do. And since you already know that there's a rebellion there against that, there may actually be a fear of opening to a higher source. Many, many people that I work with say, well, I'm afraid if I open to anything higher that I'm going to be told to do things that I don't really want to do.
Mm.
Do you think that you have that?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and so the problem comes in that when you start to try and work with spiritual guidance, your wound itself, which has been programmed to resist and programmed to protect, comes in there with fear of truly opening
mm-hmm.
because of not wanting to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the intention is to not be controlled, you're going to be locked into your wounded self, and your frequency isn't going to be high enough to actually
mm-hmm.
access spirit. It's only when your intention shifts into truly wanting to be loving to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you allow yourself to get beyond this false belief that's in the wounded self about God or spirit wanting to control you, that you're going to easily be able to access that information. See, at this point in my life, I do my inner bonding process in nature just because I like it. I like to walk, and I like to be in nature. I'm not much of a sitting meditator. I'm a walking meditator. And so, mm-hmm. to me, my inner bonding process is a meditation. I do it out in nature. But the whole rest of the day, because I do this every morning, and then the whole rest of the day, I can still stay connected to my guidance. I do it all day long. I do it when I work with people. I do it with everything. I mean, I don't do anything without consulting my guidance because I just find life to be a whole lot easier that way. But I don't have a fear that my guidance wants to control me. To me, my guidance is pure love and wants every single thing the best for me. And when I listen, things work out well. When I don't listen, things don't work out well. I've tested that out over and over again for years, and so I completely trust that this guidance is just going to be loving and truthful and helpful and kind and compassionate and never try to impose anything on me that I don't want. So I think that for you, the sense that I get is that this resistance, this rebellion is getting in the way for you of
mm-hmm.
your spiritual connection. What do you think?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't like the idea, just even the thought, the idea that I have to relinquish that control over my own life is like,
but that's the false belief.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
the false belief that you have to relinquish control. See, to me, it gives me more control over my own life, not less.
Mm-hmm.
To me, being connected to my spiritual guidance gives me a whole lot more control over my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the wounded self says to, pardon me?
No, I was saying, I want to be able to connect, right? I think that I am at the point where I'm sure that there's answers out there that I can't get to just by thinking about it because, well, I haven't gotten them.
Right. As long as you're operating from that belief, that whoever is there or whatever is out there answering wants to control you and is going to take control away from you, it's going to be pretty impossible for you to open enough in order to get those answers. And that's why I think that what has to happen first is that your belief system about spirit, God, whatever, wanting to control you needs to shift, because it's just hugely false. It's so sad and unfortunate that many churches, lots of times churches do want to control. You know, they want to control how much, you know, money people give them. They want to control what people do. And then the children grow up with this belief that that's what God wants, that God wants to control, which is, to me, completely absurd. It's not even possible, because to me, God is just spirit. It's just energy. It's love. It's not possible any more than it's possible for the air to want to control. And so
how do you think I should best, you know, because I mean, what I do is I read about it, you know, and I keep reading on the website. I keep reading articles about, you know, what spirit wants for us. So how do you think
What I think you need to do is you need to do a daily practice out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, when you get up in the morning, go take a walk in nature or whenever it is that is good for you to do that. And when you're in that state of feeling happy inside, that's when you want to ask the questions of your higher guidance.
Okay.
And I think if you were to practice that enough, that you would start to trust that.
Okay.
Okay. How does that feel to you, Yvonne?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm going to have to see how I can get it into my day. My day is usually, I live in a city, so it takes a bit to get to nature. But
right. Is there anywhere near you that has enough nature that you can get
yeah,
to
I'll
it?
Yeah, I'll make
or...
it happen.
Yeah.
I will make it happen. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Is there anybody else that would like to ask a question? There's other of you on the line here, and you have an opportunity now to ask whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be about the topic. If there's anything else you would like to ask. Anybody else? Let's see. I think we have another question here. Is it possible for your partner to change the way they treat you after you learn to take responsibility for yourself, or will the old patterns just keep on? That's actually a really good question. Yes, it's certainly possible. People tend to treat us the way we treat ourselves. How people treat us is a reflection of how we treat ourselves, so that if we're disregarding our feelings, if we're caretaking other people, not making our own feelings important, then other people say, well, you know, why should I care about your feelings when you don't? If we disrespect ourselves, then other people say, well, why should I respect you when you don't? But if you start to take responsibility for yourself and you're truly caring about yourself, you're speaking up for yourself, you're really taking action in terms of what's loving to you, very, very often the partner will automatically just start treating you better. Now, there's no guarantee, because if you got into the relationship based on the codependency, let's say that Donna, who asked the question, let's say that you're a caretaker and your partner is a taker. If your agreement in getting into the relationship was that you're going to be the caretaker and you're going to caretake the other person, and you change that, you start taking care of yourself instead of taking responsibility for the other person, there's no guarantee that that other person is going to want a relationship with somebody who's not taking responsibility for them. And so what I tell people when they are going to change their relationship, when they're going to change themselves, is that it's a 50-50 deal. 50% chance that your partner is going to change along with you as you treat yourself better, and 50% chance that your partner is going to hate what's going on and it may lead to the end of the relationship. And so in order to really be loving to yourself and take responsibility for yourself, you have to be willing for that to happen. Now, my experience is that it's actually better than 50-50. I just tell people that so they won't get too upset. But my experience, especially with the people that I work with, is that when somebody does truly take care of themselves, more often than not, the relationship improves. Very often the other partner starts dealing with themselves. They may even start to do the work because they may like what they're seeing as you change yourself. They may change without realizing it, just because they're reacting to you treating yourself better. But, you know, obviously there's no guarantee. What is guaranteed, however, is that you're going to be a lot happier regardless of what happens, whether your relationship gets better or whether it gets worse and dissolves. You taking responsibility for yourself, you learning to make yourself happy, will just make you happier regardless of what happens. In my life personally, I was married in a very long marriage, but I was the caretaker. And that had been our agreement from the beginning. And then at some point in the relationship, I realized if I kept doing that, I was going to die from the caretaking. It was so, so draining to me. It just was making me very, very ill. And fortunately, around that time is when inner bonding came into my life. That was about 25 years ago when Spirit brought us inner bonding. And I started to practice it, and I started to take responsibility for my own feelings instead of caretaking my husband. and he was not willing to go along with the shift. And it was really, really hard because I was very devoted to having an intact family. I had three children, although they were all adolescents or older by then. But I was really devoted to the family and to having an intact family. But I needed to become more devoted to my own life and my own health and my own well-being. And I did, and it did end the marriage after 30 years. But the result was that I finally ended up being a happy, truly happy and joyful human being, which I never was within the marriage. Caretaking another person, is never going to make a person happy. We get happy when we learn to take responsibility for ourselves, being whether you're on the caretaker end of the codependent system or the taker end of the codependent system. Either one is never going to make you happy. Someone else can't do it for you. You can't do it for somebody else. And so I just want to encourage you, Donna, to take that risk and take responsibility for yourself and be willing to see what's going to happen in your relationship. Does anybody else have a question at this point that you'd like to ask? Okay. Well, if nobody else has any other questions, then I'm going to end. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope to see all of you next time we do a free webinar.
Well, I do have one question, if I
could. Okay, great. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's Yvonne. I'm still the girl who's going through an insecure moment.
Sure. Go right ahead, honey.
Okay. So whenever insecurity gets to me, the best way to deal with it and not to get into the low vibration but to keep in the high frequency is to breathe into my heart?
No. When you're feeling insecure,
yes.
Can you feel that insecurity right now? Can you feel that sense of insecurity right now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. So now breathe into the feeling of insecurity. And just imagine that the insecure part of you is a little girl. And just imagine that you're sitting with that little girl for a moment. Take a moment to be with the feeling of insecurity. And now see if you can find a place in yourself that wants responsibility for being the one to cause the feeling of insecurity. That you're telling yourself something that's causing you. Yes, you're telling yourself something. And see if you can find the place in you that actually wants to know.
Nobody's
that you're
the
there. Cause of it.
Okay,
me?
Nobody's there. That's
okay.
That's what comes up. I'm
what
alone.
Comes
nobody's,
up? Nobody's
there.
There.
It's as if I'm turning around and around and around. The little girl is just turning around and around.
Okay, so your little girl is feeling, some part of you is telling the little girl you're all alone, nobody's there. Is that right?
Yeah, and she's worried.
Of course she's worried, honey. If you had a little girl, if you had an actual little girl, would you say to her, you're all alone, nobody's going to be there for you? Would you say that?
Never. Take my hand.
That's right. But you see, you're saying to your own little girl, the wounded part of you is saying to your own little girl, you're all alone, nobody's going to be there.
Yeah.
And so once you realize that that's what you're saying to yourself that causes your insecurity, then you can do something about it. You can go to your guidance and say, what is the truth? Am I really alone in the universe?
But I know I'm not alone.
That's right. And so now you ask your guidance, well, what does my little girl need from me as the adult to know that she's not alone?
Okay, now here comes the insecurity. Where am I going to live? Where am I going to go? But,
right.
Okay, a while back, that's
okay.
Okay,
honey, first you need to do what you said you would do with a child. You need to say to your little girl, take my hand.
Okay.
And just imagine you as the adult taking your little girl's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And now imagine you as the adult taking the hand of your guidance.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's who the adult is. The adult is who we are. We're the middle person here. We have our child in one hand, our guidance in the other.
I've got the link now. Oh, I'm so happy. Wow, great.
Good. Now, from this state, ask your guidance, where should I live? Where am I going to live? Where should I look to live?
He's telling me, relax, honey.
Okay, relax, honey.
Okay.
But you need some direction. You have 2 months to get out of your house, right?
Yes.
And yes, being relaxed is important, but you need some specific information here. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to ask your guidance. I need some specific information as to where I need to seek. What do I need to do? How do I start looking for where I want to live right now?
Okay. Green. Green trees.
Right.
Okay.
You want to be in nature?
Nature.
Right. So where would you look?
Okay. Where would I look? Okay. Longueuil, okay. I have a name that comes up. Okay.
What's that?
Longueuil. It's a city.
Okay.
It's a city nearby.
Okay, good. Do you like that city?
Yeah, that's where I'm aiming to go.
Okay, good. So maybe you can start looking around that city over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about that? How would that feel to you to go looking around that city over the weekend?
Fine. I've done that for the past weekend, and I'll just continue doing that.
Okay, and when you did that over the past weekend, how did that feel?
It felt... get the information quickly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. As if I have to move fast.
Okay, so somebody is telling you, do it now, move quickly.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But how did it feel being in that city?
Some parts nice, other parts not nice.
Okay. So then you want to pay attention to that. You want to pay attention to looking in the parts that felt good.
Okay, yes. Right. Okay.
And not even, you know, going into the parts that didn't feel good. Pay attention to your feelings when you're there, honey.
I can trust that, eh?
Yes. That's absolutely essential, is to trust your feelings.
Okay, and when it's bad, I don't go there, not even bother with it. Go with where I feel nice. Okay.
Yes, go where it feels good inside.
That's
Let your feelings guide you.
Okay. I have to trust myself.
You have to trust yourself. That is exactly right. You have to trust yourself and trust your feelings.
Okay.
Your feelings are going to unerringly guide you.
That's what I'm learning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. How does that feel to you?
It feels good.
Good.
Now that I know that I can hold the little girl's hand and the higher hand, wow.
Exactly.
I like that. That's nice.
Great.
I'll be okay.
Yes, you certainly will be. I have absolutely no doubt of that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Anybody else? We only got a couple minutes left anyway. Okay, well, thank you all for joining me. I appreciate you being on this call with me. And I'm sending love and blessings to all of you. And I hope you have a great rest of the evening. Good night.
And you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.